One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is episode 4, Navigating and Learning to Conquer the Modern Dating World with love coach and author, Persia Lawson. Welcome to the Alternatively Healthy podcast. I am your host, Becky Rabin, personal trainer, wellness coach, and founder of online wellness magazine, Alternatively Healthy. This is your high-vibe, soul-soothing weekly dose of wellness. Each week, I will be getting up close and personal, bringing you conversation and insight with some of the wellness industry's most renowned health practitioners, coaches, experts, and thought leaders from around the world. Through our podcast, we hope to give you all the information, resources, and tools that you need to help shape the healthiest and happiest version of you. Episode 4. Navigating and learning how to conquer the modern dating world with love coach and author, Persia Lawson. Persia is co-author of The Inner Fix, speaker, and one of the UK's most successful love coaches. Having once been a serial cheater and obsessive love addict, she's proud to now be in a healthy, committed relationship and is passionate about helping millennials attract and keep their own soulmate in the chaos of the modern dating world. Persia has supported thousands of women in radically transforming all aspects of their lives, especially when it comes to love. As one of our Alternatively Healthy resident experts, she coaches on the site as to how to attract, keep, and maintain a soulful relationship.
Hi!
Welcome to the show.
Cheers.
Pleasure to have you here. Cheers.
Pleasure to be here.
What are you drinking? Chai tea.
Pitch chai.
Pucker herbs all the way.
She's sponsored by Pucker.
No, but if you're watching, you should
be watching.
So, my lovely friend Persia has come to join the show today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Lovely to have you. You've just got back from an amazing little trip, haven't
you?
I've
just been travelling around the world for 5 months with my boyfriend.
Amazing.
A few weeks ago, so I'm just kind of readjusting to London life.
Readjusting to that carnage. I'm just about ready to leave carnage after being here for a few months. So for those of you that don't know Persia, she is a love coach, author, speaker, founder of
AddictedDaughter.com, which we've kind of taken a step back from. So that was a positive lifestyle brand. Me and my friend Joey started that in our mid-20s.
Yeah.
And really, we were, you know, we've been going through a quarter-life crisis, so we started blogging about it. We got a lot of press. We got a book deal, which then became The Inner Fix. But then, funnily enough, when The Inner Fix came out, we kind of felt like it was time to do something new because we've been doing Addicted Daughter for 4 years. And that's when I just knew that I wanted to move on to focus specifically on love and relationships.
Absolutely. So that's when you kind of got into it. So obviously for me, I was introduced to you as a love coach and everyone kept talking about it. I can't remember who it was. And they were like, you have to see her, obviously, through having a lot of relationship issues myself, which is why it's something I really want to bring to the Alternatively Healthy audience, because I think there's a lot to be said about the relationships that we've had with other people in terms of the relationships we then have with ourselves. So I can't remember who it was, and they were like, you have to speak to her, it was Sarah.
Katie.
It was one of our friends, and she was literally like, you have to speak to Persia, she is going to help you on so many levels. I was going through such a bad stage with guys at that time, and then we ended up just meeting randomly in the gym.
Because I was leading a meditation at One London, which is my friend's gym, and which is where you
were also, Exactly. And just kind of the universe brought us together. And now you're writing for Alternatively Healthy, which is so amazing. I'm so excited for all the things that we've got coming together. I guess love coaching is, there's not really many of you in the industry.
No, it's brilliant. It's so great because life coaching, which is what I trained in and which is what I did initially, everyone's now bloody becoming a life coach.
Yeah, I mean, you can just call yourself a life coach these days.
I know, you can.
But I do think what you've got, I mean, tell us about your story, how you actually got into love coaching. And what is love coaching? Like, what does it mean?
Well, it's pretty much what it says on the tin. It's helping people heal from their issues around relationships.
Yeah.
So my work, it's quite therapeutic based. So we really, really go back to your childhood and we look at all the stuff that kind of has affected and influenced your decisions in your romantic life. Because that's the thing that I never realised. This is why I became a love coach. I was crazy in relationships, and I share in the infix how my parents were both drug addicts until I was about 16. So that obviously had a very big impact to the kind of relationships that I was attracted to. And I became kind of addicted to boys from a very young age as kind of distraction from stuff going on at home. But what was interesting was it was actually when my parents got sober when I was 16. And I remember when I was in sixth form, I had this dream family life that I'd always wanted. And you'd think that that would be happy ever after. And I just, I was a straight A student. So on the outside, things looked good. I was popular. I had friends. I had boyfriends. But underneath it, I was so used to drama and chaos. And then suddenly I didn't have that. Yeah, I missed it. Because I was used to, I was an adrenaline junkie. And I obviously didn't know that. So when my parents got sober is when I started going crazy. Like, particularly when I hit university. I mean, I had boyfriends on every continent. I was cheating. I mean, I got the clap. And the way I found out I got the clap was when I actually, after uni, I went to drama school. Of course I became an actress. Of course I did. And I got a Russian...
Performing arts. The arts of parole.
Exactly. And I fell in love with a Russian actor when I was overacting in Russia. And I obviously came home and he thought we were in a relationship. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then... I was seeing all and sundry, and then I found out that I'd given him the clap because he sent me some really threatening, quite frankly, death threats.
Oh.
His father was a KGB general.
Oh, God.
Which is like, if you're going to screw someone over, just check that their father is not a KGB general. So this was what my life was like. It was just drama, drama, drama. And, of course, it really escalated. It got worse and worse to the point where, after I gained my master's in drama school, a few months later, I found myself working in a strip club. Not as a stripper.
At uni?
No, this is after drama school, so I must have been like 23, maybe. I literally just got my master's in like European classical acting. Then there I am, working in a strip club as a hostess.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that did that. Yeah. They make good money.
I mean, that was the thing. Yeah. I was like, you know, you get paid to drink champagne. I kind of go out anyway and get bought drinks by guys. So what difference is it? And it turns out, well, there is quite a few differences.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, one night I had a really bizarre incident happen and I was sexually assaulted. And you'd think that that would stop me.
Interesting.
But no, that's when I went even crazier. And I was on an acting job in Shanghai a month or so later. And I put on 2 stone in 2 months. So this actually relates, I guess, with your work.
Yeah.
Because the biggest blessing that ever happened to me was putting on 2 stone in 2 months. Because I could hide everything else. I could hide taking a load of coke. I could hide all the craziness with men.
Yeah.
But I couldn't hide the rapid
weight gain.
And my dad... I came back and my parents were like, you know, they're obviously recovering addicts, so they could see something's not right here.
Yeah.
And then my dad took me away on a health retreat to Thailand. And when I was there, he said something that really changed my life. He just said, if you focus on the insides, the outsides will take care of themselves. Yeah. And that literally was the turning point.
That's like one of the biggest things that I say is what I'm doing now in my line of work. And it was a lesson even for me, but it's really interesting to hear you talk about basically how much of your backstory makes such a way for your story now. And obviously we will talk about how it relates to your health, because I do really think it does, and we'll talk about that a bit later. But I guess, is that one of the first things you look at, is like someone's backstory and like what made the trigger?
Exactly, that's always where to start, because you don't even realise. I've had a lot of clients who are like, well, you know what, I'm crazy in my love life now, but I had quite a stable, happy upbringing.
Yeah.
And it's not to say, let's dig for some awful thing that happened.
No.
Because it can be something really subtle that affects your attachment style.
Yeah. What are the normal things you see that...
Well, often, a good example, so Joey in The Inner Fix, she grew up, you know, she had a really loving family, really stable family life, but her parents worked really, really hard.
Yeah.
And so she had a lot of nannies. So these nannies became like big sister figures to her. And then when they left, because obviously that's going to eventually happen, it was really traumatic for her as a little girl. You know, it doesn't sound like a big drama. It almost sounds like quite a middle-class problem. But actually, if someone's become very close to you and then they just
and
disappear.
And then they just leave. Yeah, that's true. Do you know what? I had a lot of au pairs my whole life.
Yeah.
And you're just people leaving you all the time. You don't think that. I guess even then, like, you've just told me something that's made me think about my past, made me trigger a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think... What other reasons are there that you normally see? Like, would you say that it's always to do with someone's past?
A big one,
or?
There's always something in the past. It usually goes back to how early. Now, there's always something in childhood that will have had an influence. But usually, you know, a big one is divorce.
Yeah.
Of course it is. So, you know, for some kids, they watch their parents go through a horrific divorce. And of course, you know, that's your model for relationships. Yeah. So of course, that's going to influence you. But having said that, I've had other clients whose parents, maybe they divorced a bit later and they did it in as healthy a way as well. They consciously uncoupled.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as traumatic, but of course that's going to have an influence on you. But I'd say that they are the big things. If you've grown up around any sort of dysfunction in your family life, and another thing actually is if you're at school and you're bullied, because what does that say to you? It says that you're not good enough, you're kind of going to be rejected. So that will have an impact on how you meet romantic relationships. Yeah. As well.
I think that, I mean, for me as well, like I've had a string of relationships with guys and they all are the same, you know, exactly the same person if you look at them. And, you know, I've done a lot of work looking back at my life. And obviously, I think the biggest thing is that my father passed away before I was born. So I was actually born into this world with no dad. And as much as I looked at my friends and I saw parents being divorced, you know, one of my friends, her parents got divorced at 16. I think that's a really tough age because she was like old enough to kind of be sassy about it. Rather than young enough to where it's kind of like, you know, you might take it in, but she just, it broke her.
Yeah.
I saw friends whose parents weren't married and they were just rowing all the time, or, you know, and I guess I kind of thought, oh, I'm living in this like blissful life, me, my mum, my sister. My mum consciously chose never to bring any other guys into the household. But actually, it's almost like not having that present.
Yeah.
What I crave from guys now is a very, very intense thing. You know, I wanted all my boyfriends to be my dad, and they were just a little bit like, dude, like, I can't protect you and do this and do that. So,
in what way did that? So be a bit more specific. Just, I'm fascinated. Like, what did you want them to do?
When I was really young, I always went for older guys because I loved it that they drove me around in their car. So silly.
Yeah,
I loved that they had a car and they drove me around in that. I remember my ex-boyfriend, like my most recent, well, I said most recent, it was a long time ago, but probably my most attached relationship I thought was maybe the one. I loved it when he did things like walk over to me and kiss me on my forehead. Mm. I loved it when he said things like, I'm really proud of you. And I think at the time I was totally unaware, and it's definitely only now in the last year or so that I've really done a lot of self-work on the fact that I lost and actually never got to grieve or lose. I thought I was totally fine and there was no issue, and link that to my relationships because there was a lot of cheating. Every single boyfriend I've ever been with has cheated on me, and a lot of lying, and a lot of me being really like quite needy and probably driving them to cheat on me, especially after the first one. It was then the second one I went into the relationship being like, well, he did, you're gonna.
Yeah.
But it was more about the self-esteem and that lack and not having someone. And there's nothing, my mum told me how beautiful I was every day. I think looking at the past is something that almost as scary as well for someone to kind of delve into. I didn't want to open up that can of worms.
So what do you
say? Yeah, what do you say to someone that's like wanting to like maybe go there but not
That's why I think it's so important to have the right support around you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've done 8 years of work with this stuff, and I have had really great support and mentors and coaches because you need that. Because if you're going to open that Pandora's box, you need someone to be like that. And sometimes I think, you know, you can read a book, which is incredible, and you get a lot of insight. But if you're not then putting it into practice necessarily, that's why I think, you know, the difference is having, you know, there's a lot of different resources. But I think when you come to that place where you think, I am ready to look at this stuff, it's going to be scary.
Yeah.
It's going to be scary. You're going to be out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And that's where all the great stuff is. But I think everyone can look back and go, God, there was that year that was mental.
Yeah.
That was 2010 was the year that I nearly died many times over. Like, I seriously was in dramatic situations.
Self-destruction.
And I was, for me, you know, I drank and I did drugs, but it was all about relationships.
Yeah.
Anything with that was all about relationships, so I get in really dangerous situations. But there were situations or like opportunities that came up that I could have changed or turned it around.
Yeah.
You know, that there were like someone would say something and I kind of heard it, but then I didn't hear it. I wasn't ready. The day before I went on that Thailand trip, I was lying hungover, of course, in my friend's bed. And I just looked over to the shelf and there was this book. And I don't know what it was, but something in me drew me over. Drew me over to this book. And the title said Women Who Love Too Much. And I was like, oh, gosh, that sounds so naff. I can't bear it. And yet still, I found myself picking it up, opening it randomly. And my eyes went straight to this sentence. And it was something like, daughters of drug addicts tend to inherit a predisposition to dysfunctional relationships with men. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then everything in that section was relevant. And my friend said, I'll take it with you. I'm not going to read it. Take it with you. It was the timing thing. I was going away for 2 weeks. There'll be no booze, no drugs, no men.
Perfect.
So I was just going to be doing yoga and meditate. So it was the thing of like, I was ready.
Yeah.
Then. I was ready to hear it and I was ready to look at it. And I wasn't ready 1 second before I did. I had to really hit rock bottom.
Yeah. So what happened then? So you hit rock bottom and you went through all this process. What was the kind of the initial starting point for you to start stepping stones into getting yourself into a better place?
So it really was going on that health retreat and reading that book.
Yeah.
I mean, Women Who Love Too Much by Robin Norwood, honestly life-changing, incredible book. I've recommended it to so many people and it's changed their lives.
Get it,
it's brilliant. I came back from that holiday and I was just like, mission heal Persia, I am sorting my shit out. And I really had this crazy idea that I'm going to be fixed in 1 month.
Yeah.
No, it's not how it works. There's no such thing as a quick fix.
It works.
You can massively... I think you can make smart decisions. The same in business, in anything.
Yeah.
I think there are things you can do. Like, there are things I could have done, which I didn't have to have all of those years of hell. I could have done it certain things faster. But at the same time, the process takes time.
Yeah.
So, I came back. I got in a relationship with someone who I'd actually known for a long time. Now, this was actually a big turning point for me because I believe... This is the fundamental crux of what my work is about, is I believe that we attract the people and situations and relationships that are going to give us the maximum opportunity for growth and healing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes that's going to be a hard situation that you need to go through. So I had a 1-year relationship with this guy who'd actually been out of rehab for 6 months. And he was my mirror.
Yeah.
And it was the opportunity to really look at all of the stuff with my parents growing up, because he was an addict. So I had to look at that stuff because it was in front of me. And also, he cheated on me, which I never had before.
No.
I cheated on every boyfriend. And so it was like...
He was you.
Oh, it was so painful. It was so painful. I can't... And he's like the main character in the inner fix.
Yeah.
And it's really random. Now him and my boyfriend are like best friends. My boyfriend, they get on so well. They're very similar, but Joe is... a version that is more compatible, let's say.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that kind of happened. And then that just, spurred on more healing. And that's when, after we broke up, I trained as a life coach. I started Addicted Daughter. And it's just kind of carried on since then.
It's quite interesting. You say a lot of people have said you kind of attract what you are.
Yes.
And I'm a big believer anyway of people come into your life and everyone is a lesson. And I've now started saying, if someone pisses me off, I'm like... okay, what was the lesson there?
Yeah.
And I found myself in situations where maybe I've liked someone and was like, why do I like this person?
Yeah.
Where has this come from? And then actually I've chosen to see that lesson was, oh, welcome, you have a heart. Remember, you have, or you needed to learn that he wasn't what you needed, or you needed that, when you kind of see that, it changes everything. But obviously we've looked at what the past is and that having a big part to play. Why do you think it's so hard these days for modern millennials to really grasp the dating game if they're single? Obviously, I know a lot of people that are in relationships, but what do you think the biggest issue is, maybe taking away their past? What other factors?
Okay,
really,
so the social factors.
Yeah.
Now, this is fascinating. So I write for eHarmony, mm-hmm. which is one of the more, I guess, soulful relationship sort of sites. But what's happened, in the same way as social media, we've forgotten what humanity and life is actually about. In this desperate bid to become more connected, we're now technically more connected than ever, but we are less emotionally and spiritually connected.
Yeah.
And it is massively affecting us. So this is what I say to my clients. A lot of them come to me addicted to dating apps, obsessed with Tinder. They have this fear that I'm going to miss out, I'm going to miss out, I'm going to miss out. And I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
I promise you, no, you're not. But the thing is, what's meant for you will never miss you, and what misses you isn't meant for you. And that's so helpful to remember. And all of these apps, I really believe that apps aren't bad, Tinder isn't bad, it's the intention that you bring to it.
Yeah.
So if you literally are going on for a bit of fun, fine. Okay, we know what Tinder is about.
Yeah.
We know that it's basically a hooking up app. Of course there is the exception to the rule, and we're like, oh, but my friends, aunties, sisters, brothers, dog got in a relationship and met the love of their life. I'm like, yes, but that is the exception. Come on, if we look statistically.
Yeah.
So I say to clients, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you want to go on it, go on it. But really, the main problem is that actually we all think that we want relationships. We think that is what we want. And yet the thing that we're most scared of is commitment and intimacy. Really.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're faced with it, when clients get, have an amazing guy that turns up and they go, they're available, I want to be with you, they're like, oh, he's boring.
Queen of finding something wrong with someone.
Exactly.
Always.
You will find a reason, because your subconscious, you think, oh no, but I want a relationship.
Yeah.
But when it's there, your subconscious is terrified because it's And so is the ego. It's like, oh my God, this is an opportunity to really look at stuff.
Yeah.
Commitment is terrifying, especially in the world today where, you know, we've lost all sense of patience. We don't wait around for everything. Everything's about, so I call it the McDonald's culture, like instant gratification.
Yeah.
Again, clients are like, I want a relationship and I want it now. It's like, but are you really ready for that? Actually,
yeah,
if you're
you?
Obsessed
yeah.
with Tinder, something in me tells me you're not ready.
See, this is what I was going to touch on the dating apps.
Yeah.
So I believe, and it's taken me a long time, I've done the dating apps. I've kind of been through every stage of the dating game, like not talking to anyone, eyes, tunnel vision, going out having loads of fun and kind of being the wrong end of the way. And someone said to me, like, if you want to attract a husband, then you need to stop acting like a slut. Like, quite simply.
What were you doing?
Well, I just, like, I'd had 2 years of a really messy breakup. I was so low in self-esteem. My anxiety was at all-time low. And I had no confidence. So I'd go out on a night out and I'd literally have, do not talk to me, written all over my head, which everyone else told me. I didn't realise.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, what's going on? And I was like, I'd never get anyone. No one ever gives me attention. Like, I must be ugly. And it just spiraled even more out of control. And then actually it's Tessa, my lovely Tessa, who kind of taught me that you can have anyone you want if you are confident enough.
Yeah.
Not in an arrogant way, but in a, like, And then we just, like, I had a couple of years of, like, you know, doing what I needed to do.
Yeah.
Almost being...
Getting out of the system.
I've been in relationship after relationship after relationship.
Yeah.
And I think I needed that time. And then I chose last year to actually, like, really quieten down and focus on me and actually went on less dates, came off all the apps and kind of just focused on, you know what, when I'm meant to meet someone, I will. But right now I'm not... Like, I'm just not in a good place to attract anyone or would I make a good partner? But with the dating apps, I think there's two things here. So... A, I feel like, what are your thoughts on, there's almost so much choice out there now. So I've noticed with a lot of guys or a lot of girls, you know, they're like, yeah, he's great, but this guy's also really good.
Yeah, grass is always greener.
Yeah.
And you know what? The grass always will be greener. I love, my sister always says this quote that I love. She says, the grass is greenest where you water it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's investing in where you are.
Yeah.
And this is why, like, I don't know how anyone can possibly do relationships in the modern day with everything, with the crazy, I don't know how anyone does life if they don't have some sort of spiritual look, whatever that means to me, that's different for everyone, some sort of connection. You know, meditation has saved my life, and journaling, like really simple things, self-care, like I didn't look after myself, I didn't realise that.
No.
You know, I didn't look after myself, I had no sense of self-respect, no boundaries, that's another thing. So look, my advice about dating apps is like, you've just got to be honest with yourself. If they make you feel insane, get off them.
Yeah.
They are not serving you because it's not attractive when you're in that energy.
Yeah.
And if you're sat glued to your phone 3 hours a day scrolling through dating apps, you are missing
such
life.
A waste of life.
You're
then,
missing life.
But then on the flip side, you know, my friends are like, come on, Bex, we need to go out. We need to be in an environment where we might meet someone. We need to go for drinks. We need to go to the pub. And I'm like, oh, I'm so over that as well. Like, I guess it's really tough now to meet people. It's always through friends of friends.
Yeah.
But then I say, well, you could just be walking down the street and you would bump into the right person if you're meant to bump into them. So I guess, what advice would you give to someone who's kind of looking to cut out the crap and get off the dating apps but still hopefully attract their partner? And this isn't by working on themselves, so just like in general, what advice would you give?
I was going to say, there's two ways to approach this. It's like, okay, they don't want to work with themselves.
Yeah.
So look, it's very easy, actually. I never had a problem attracting guys. I don't actually think it's that difficult. It depends what your intention is, because do you just want to fling? Do you want to hook up? That's easy. Do you want a committed, soulful, lasting relationship?
Yeah.
And that's what I help people get.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but there's no shortcut. So if someone's like, okay, I've done a lot of work myself, then again, it comes back to the thing of like trusting and handing it over and surrendering. Like, do you know, the reason I met my boyfriend, I learned the biggest lesson ever. Like, I went to, first of all, if you want to know a very good tip, go to festivals. Festivals are great. I met my boyfriend at festivals. But having said that, I'd been to the same festival the year before. And I had been in a really anxious, desperate energy. I was looking around to hook up with a guy. And because I was in that energy, of course, nothing happened.
Yeah.
So there was not a shortage of fit, single guys there. There really weren't.
No.
But we were not, like, the energy was just completely off.
Yeah.
The year after, I went, you know what? I am not coming here looking for a guy. I'm coming here with my friends to have fun. And I'm just going to surrender and let the festival take me wherever it wants to take me. And that was life-changing.
Yeah.
And of course, what happened? The moment, for the first time in my life, I remember being in this rave in the festival and, you know, everyone is gorgeous, glitter everywhere, these acrobatic mermaids doing somersaults above your head. Like, it's incredible. And I just had this moment when I was like, you know what? I'm here for me. Like, yeah. I don't care. I just danced and was having so much fun, and I felt really actually spiritually connected.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I literally felt this voice inside me say, turn around.
Wow.
And I turned around, and there he was. And it was, I mean, that was it.
And this is your partner.
This is my partner. And a lot of love coaching. And it was because it happened the minute I was genuinely letting
go.
You can't force that. Like, I had pretended for so many times before that I genuinely, like, oh, yeah, I'm not looking for anyone. looking around. So, again, that was a process, and I just got to the point where I was done. I was like, I can't control this. Like, it's actually, like, what a relief that you're powerless over it. What a relief. And, like, there's nothing I can do. Like, I cannot force the love of my life to turn up.
Yeah.
Look, there are 7 billion people on this planet. Like, there's plenty of people that could be the love of your life and you could have an amazing relationship with. And I always say to clients, it's like, look, if I was going to tell you that in exactly 1 year's time, you're going to meet the love of your life, okay? And it's going to be great.
Yeah.
How would you live that year from now until then? And I guarantee, you know, most people aren't like, well, I'll sleep around with everyone. They're like, I'll just go out and have fun. And the anxiety goes, and I'll enjoy myself, and I'll just be present.
Yeah.
And guess what? When you're in that energy, people turn up.
That's really interesting.
Because that's what people are drawn to.
So you obviously do a lot of one-to-one coaching with people.
Yeah.
What does homework look like?
Oh, my God. I mean, there's so many different, so many sort of practical exercises, a lot of journaling, a lot of, like, I'll ask, you know, 5 different questions, and they need to go and look back over their life and kind of, there's blooming charts and tables and I get them to get a journal. And so by the end of our time together, they have this, like, entire book's worth of stuff that they didn't know about themselves. So they get to know themselves.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Once you know yourself, that is a more attractive thing to a partner as well, because you can actually share something. And really, a lot of it is about being vulnerable. Like, I talk to clients a lot about, like, show who you really are, because that is what people fall in love with. It really is.
Yeah.
And another thing, you know, I get them to do a lot of things every day. So they do daily meditation, they do daily gratitude lists, daily journaling practice. Every week and every module is slightly different, but it's really ingraining those habits, those habitual things, so that you're starting to respect yourself and take care of yourself. Because if you don't respect yourself, how on earth can you expect someone else to respect you?
I want to get on to dating, because I feel like there's not really a date culture anymore. It's very tough.
Yeah, well, I could probably tell me, but I haven't been on a date. I mean, do you know what? I feel like I've only actually been on a few dates that felt like dates, and they felt, I was terrified, and they felt really contrived.
Yeah.
Actually, in the period before, between my last relationship and Joe, everything else was like, I'd meet a guy, a friend of a friend, and then we just hang out, and it didn't feel like a date, if that makes sense. And with Joe, you know, our first date essentially was 72 hours at a festival, and then we hung out a lot for 2 weeks before he went off to Bali for 6 weeks with his guy friends. And so it didn't feel like we went on a date. Yeah. There's something about that that bums me out a little bit. It's just, it feels very contrite. And I did do it, and I'm glad that I did it.
Yeah.
But again, like, I just think, like, whilst the culture has changed, we are still human beings, you know? We need to have sex and pair up in order to propagate the species. We know how to do this. It is our minds, because of what is going on, that are tricking us and thinking that we don't.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's why I'm like, get out of your head, get out of, not literally, get out of your head, get wasted. but your mind is the thing that will.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Thank you.
lead you down the garden path, and that's why meditation is so important.
How does someone meditate to attract a partner? And obviously, like, I think the whole meditation world is another world, yeah. And it's, I get daily messages like, how do I do it, what do I get into? And I've actually done yours before. Mm-hmm. I remember doing it like every day for a month, and it was the one that was like attract your partner, yeah. So what does that look like? So they can sign up to your site.
Yeah, they can sign up, and they actually, I've turned it into a whole free guide for them,
okay.
That it basically explains the importance of meditation and what it does, because I know without a shadow of doubt that's the reason,
yeah.
That it attracted me to Joe, because I was like, oh, it's so irrelevant, and it's not going to help me. Who cares about feeling calmer,
yeah.
Until you have such bad anxiety, you're,
yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
So it does. It helps you feel less anxiety. But even more important than that is it helps you connect your intuition. Now, remember, my intuition is why I met Joe, because I felt something that said, turn around.
Yeah,
now,
true.
Like, if this doesn't just happen for me. I've seen this time and time again with clients I've worked with, or even friends of mine. Now, how many times before have I had that gut thing that says, turn around, or go there, or don't go there? And I ignored it because,
yeah.
I didn't have a strong enough connection. Because,
yeah.
I know that some people don't see the value in meditation. That, for me, was the game changer when I understood that. It's like,
mm-hmm.
When you have a stronger relationship with yourself, connection with yourself, then you're in alignment to attract
that
relationship.
Yeah. So you've got a guided meditation on your site that people,
yes.
Can listen to. You actually tell them what to do.
Oh, yeah. So the guide that comes along with it will explain exactly what they need to do. So it's really, really simple. And they can also access some free meditations at addictivedaughter.com.
Okay.
Or actually the innerfix.com, sorry, which has got all
really
the meditations.
I think that is one of the biggest questions I get asked, and it is definitely something we want to bring to the platform more, is how to meditate,
yeah.
Guided meditations. Just, it's more as you can be whatever you want it to be, as long as there's some quiet. And I,
yeah.
I've got myself into situations where, you know, I got back from Australia and I was relaxed and rested.
Yeah.
So I was so in tune with myself. I hadn't,
yes.
Been drunk that much.
Yeah.
Everything in life, I looked at it completely differently. And 3 months in London, I said to myself this morning, I was like, you're so out of alignment. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel like I am in tune with me,
yeah.
Whatsoever, and I'm tripping over things, and then trains are late, and it kind,
yeah.
Of is all falling into place.
Yeah.
I think the same thing with relationships is that it is a minefield.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to give someone literally now, off the top of your head, and I know there's just so many different ways you can go with this, but 5 tips as to like what they can take away from this as to how to best attract a soulmate.
Okay.
5 tips. And they can be like, what do they need to be doing themselves? They need to be getting out there, being in environments, or.
The first thing I would say is do the meditation.
Yeah.
It will change your life.
Okay.
Okay, so you can go to pajawalter.com to get that meditation. So that's developing that connection with yourself.
Yeah.
The second thing is to be journaling. So you start to see what is going on inside of you, because that's how you start to witness the patterns.
Yeah.
So for example, you don't realize the string of like people that you're attracting, that actually there's so many similarities. If you're not actually writing it down and seeing like, oh yeah, that guy actually,
mm-hmm.
Is really like that guy, and you're not working through the emotional,
yeah.
Process. So meditation, journaling, so key. Another thing I would say would be, oh my God, start enjoying where you are.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have goals, and we'll get onto that in a second,
mm-hmm.
But start enjoying where you are. Because if you're listening to this podcast, you're doing better than most of the people,
yeah.
In this world.
Yeah.
If you're single, whatever's going on, I know you could be in pain, like, but there's all sorts of variables. But we are incredibly privileged, and I think we forget that.
Mm.
So, you know, it comes back to gratitude. What do I have to enjoy in my life today?
Yeah.
What am I excited about for tomorrow? Like, the really simple things. Sometimes I'm like, just sit down, make a really nice cup of coffee, read Grazia, and I'm like, this is what life
is
about.
Life, yeah.
Look, it doesn't have to be these huge things, because,
no.
People are attracted to people who are content and who are enjoying their life, instead of they're constantly looking for the next thing, the,
yeah.
Next thing, the next thing. Because look, no one knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Mm.
No one knows. You know, it is a cliche, but it's like, we've got this moment. We've,
yeah.
Really got this moment. So that's it. Invest in where you are today, because people are going to be much more attracted to someone who's happy and enjoying,
yeah.
Their life. The next one is, oh my God, surrender. Surrender.
Yeah.
You are powerless over how and when you're going to meet the love,
yeah.
Of your life. Because look, how are we
trying? Probably the biggest,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Like, look, I've definitely orchestrated and manipulated hookups. Like,
yeah.
Look,
oh my God. Yeah, look at this. Yeah.
It's not, there's a lot of dating stuff out there that's like 5 text messages to send to making obsessed. And it's,
yeah.
Like, look, yeah, they work. But what do you want?
Yeah,
do you want someone,
so
who's going to short-term be obsessed with you? No, I didn't want that. I got to a point where I was like, I want a proper, intimate, soulful,
mm-hmm.
Relationship. I want a mature relationship. And that is not going to come from manipulating someone with a few bloody text messages.
Yeah, that's
that is a load of rubbish.
Saying, what do you want? I think even to yourself, is such a key thing.
Yes.
Because I've had conversations recently where I've been calling my friends and I'm like, he's just really pissed me off. How do I reply to this? And they're like, the fact that you're even pissed off says it all.
Yeah.
Let go. And I'm like, yeah. And it is. And also the journaling thing as well. I think for those of you that don't know, journaling is literally just writing down like how you're feeling, what you're doing. And it wasn't until I was writing, and I can't remember what I was writing about. And I started writing about all my exes.
Yeah.
And one by one, I think I was just journaling about maybe bumping into one of my exes that day. And I started writing about all of them. And it wasn't until I wrote about all of them that I saw the pattern in all of them.
Yes.
And that they were all the same. And that actually each one I grew as a person. And each one was an individual lesson to what I want now. But actually, you kind of touched on goals as well. Is it okay to say, like, this is like, I have things now where I'm like, okay, this is non-negotiable. In terms of, you know, he has to support what I do for work.
Yes.
He has to support that I meditate. He doesn't have to meditate, but he can't take the piss out of it.
Yeah.
Or like he can on like a jokey level.
Yeah.
Are they good things to put in place or not?
Because I think just,
are you then creating a, has to be this?
No, I think it's important what you're putting on there. So if you're like, he's got to be tall, dark, like I'd actually say, forget about what they look like.
Yeah.
Say, put it in terms of gratitude. Say, thank you that he, she, whatever, I'm really attracted to them.
Okay.
Do you mean it's freeing and it's open?
Mm-hmm.
Because what you may be attracted to, I may not. Like it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
So it's about you, you know, and what's important to you. So forget about these, like, oh, they've got to be this job and that. You know, no. Like, for me, it was kindness, generosity, fun, adventurous. Things that were really, like, I couldn't be with someone who wasn't an adventurer. Like, my dad is the biggest, like, adventurer I know. I always was going to need to be with someone like that. And all my boyfriends have been very adventurous. And that was my favourite part. And I was like, I'm not going to lose that because it's so important to me.
Yeah.
But again, that might not be the same for everyone. So get clear on what your non-negotiables are, but make them about the inner qualities, you know?
So I went down the road of doing the inner qualities and then found myself being like, well, I need an older guy. And
For
an older guy.
This is it. Like, you don't know. You can say someone who's got their shit together.
Yeah.
That's fair
that's
enough.
A different thing.
But you know what? There might be a 25-year-old who's got that. You just, Joe's 2.5 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And I've got to think, oh, he's got to be older. And then it's like, look, you just don't know. There's so many people out there. Don't limit yourself like that. Go for the inner qualities. That's so important.
Yeah. My friend, and if you're listening, I love you to death, but she went on, we told her she needed to write a book called Confessions of a Tinderholic. I mean, the girl was going on 2 or 3 dates a week.
Wow.
And with every date, she was writing down what happened.
Oh, that is a book. I'll read it.
I know, right? Like, and obviously, she was like, you need to get yourself on dates. And I was like, so bad at the dating scene. And we were all just living through her dates. And she was so great at them. She was so kind of unemotionally attached when she was going to them. And she was almost going to get, like, the next story. We were like, what happened off the back of that is that she wrote down everything that she wanted in a guy. And, and she was like, they have to work in an office. They need a 9-to-5 job, which needs to be some sort of, like, suit job. Like, she created this guy. And I was like, wow, you need to get rid of all of that because you're never... And she finally now is at the point where she's like, I can't believe I did that. Because I was just looking for this, that to the point of he had to have a job that was a non-self-employed job. It was a 9-to-5 office job. And I was like, where have you even
but
got
see,
that
this
from?
Is how people resist love.
Yeah.
This is, we don't realise all these traps we put under ourselves. You know, the best advice I got here, which kind of links to this surrender it or let it go, and it actually was when I was an actress. So I had a director, I think it was, who said to me, do the work and then leave it in the wings. So you
Lovely.
Do all the prep,
yeah.
you know, the equivalent of doing work with me. Like, you've got to do all the work. I don't think that there's a shortcut for most of us, but, you know, each to their own. But from what I've seen, like, if particularly if you know you've got issues and struggles around romance and relationships have been a big problem for you, you've got to look at it. Like, do you know what I mean? If you hurt your leg, if you broke your leg, you need it to heal. So why wouldn't you need your love life to heal? And people also, like, how can you expect to have a healthy body if you don't invest in it with good food and do some exercise? So it's the same as anything. That's how I see relationships. But it's also that thing, and I had to do that before I met Joe. Like, I did all this work, but then when I was at the festival, he was not what I imagined, but I just let it go. Go with the flow and see what happens. Because you know what? Most of the clients who get in relationships after working with me, they are so surprised. They're like, oh, this is not,
that?
It's not how I expected it to
be.
Yeah.
Also, not all how I expected it to look, but how I expected them to be.
Yes.
I hear that more and more and more and more. Like, everyone I know that's, a lot of my friends have actually been with their boyfriends since school, so I guess it's very different. But the ones that have just, like, found someone, there's always a coincidence.
Yes.
There's always a, that wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my friend Tessa, talking about you again, Tess, love you. But, you know, she'd been dating her boyfriend, but he wasn't the sort of guy that she would go for.
Yeah.
For years. She only dated a certain type of guy. And then they went on a few dates. It just didn't really kind of go anywhere. And then 2 years later, we were having dinner. And she was actually helping me because I was really upset about a guy who had just, like, been a classic guy, yeah. not text me back about something. And she literally went to me, I'm ready. I'm so done with all these dickheads and going for this, like, classic look. I'm ready now to attract someone that's actually here for the right reasons. And then 2 seconds later, she turned around. She was like, oh, my God, there's Adam. And I was like, who's Adam? And she was like, I used to date him, but, like, I never... He was just such a nice guy. And, like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And that's it. Game, like, game over within a year. Yeah, engaged, getting married in, like, 3 months' time. And I always say to them, whenever I'm with them, I'm like, thank you for teaching me that that happens.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I haven't been a cynic for a long time about relationships. And, like, you asked me 4 years ago, and I'd be like, every man cheats, so you might as well just go with anyone because they're all going to cheat on you. And, I, you know, I've definitely come out of that. But I do think, like, the things that you're saying, it's very much about coincidence, like letting it go. Did we touch on your fifth point? I don't think we did.
My fifth point? No, but I have got one.
Yeah. Go on.
So actually, this is something my friend Mel Wells said, and I'm totally nicking it from her. It was so good. She said, boys that cause you anxiety are not your future husband. So that is such a good thing.
Game over, done, let go.
Just let it go. Like, if you're sitting there having to overanalyze texts,
just done.
It's done.
Yeah.
And again, look, people always cling to the one exception out of the thousands. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like that book, he's just not that into you. Like, oh yeah, but that one time, this one time, I'm like, don't be an umpty, okay? Like, come on. It's not to say in dating relationships you're not going to have problems. Of course you are. But the difference is, okay, between me and Joe, and again, couples that I've seen who stick together, who have a healthy, great relationship, is whilst there might be problems that come up that they work through, like, I don't have this anxiety. Like, I know that it's all good. Like, I know that we're there. I know that we're going to work through it. And that means I can be present and available in all aspects of my life.
That's
because when I was in a bad place, anxious, like, I was a bad friend.
Yeah.
I was a bad in my work. I wasn't giving anything because I was so addicted and obsessed with, like, some guy who was just ghosting me and not, like, well, it wasn't worth my time. Like, why was I doing that? So again, this comes back to the other point about, like, fully invest in your life, in your present. Like, the guy should, or girl, whatever, should be the cherry on top. They should not be the foundations of your life. Like, you need to have a full, vibrant life already. And another thing I love is this idea of you need to become the person who's already in that relationship. So if I was in that relationship, if I had that person here, what would my life look like? And just be that, step into that. Because that's what I look at is now, I'm like, Joe, my relationship's great, but you know what? I was doing all this stuff before as well.
So how do you step into that, though, if you're just in this, like, bad mindset? Like, okay, take the breakup, for example. I absolutely always say I had a very messy breakup, and I say to everyone that is exactly why, and I thank him now, we're good friends.
Yeah.
You are why I am where I am today, because you gave me so much to be ill about that I wanted to crave to be well. And this leads on to, obviously, you saying you put loads of weight on, and I do want to touch about it, because I do think not enough is said in the industry about actually your relationship with yourself and what you've been through with other people must really, like, make the way for your relationship with yourself, which then leads to your health and your wellness.
Yes.
And I think, like you say, if someone is in that bad space, you know, they've just had a really shitty time with guys, they've got no self-confidence, or even if it's got nothing to do with guys, they've got no self-confidence, they're sad, they're depressed, they don't think that they are going to attract anyone. How do you just change your mind and go, right, do you know what, I'm going to be all of those, like, what are the steps? So you do you write down the things that you want to be and then try and be them, or...
I think the key is that if you're in that place, it's the problem. A lot of people, including myself back in the day, they're miserable and they don't like feeling miserable. So they go, I need someone to, you know, you want someone else to distract you. That's what it is, avoiding it.
Yeah.
If you're in a terrible place, dating is the last thing.
Yeah.
I would say to people, do not date unless you're feeling amazing.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're going to be coming from a desperate, clingy place.
Yeah, so, you feel like crap when you come away from that date and he doesn't text you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't...
But then if you're in a good place and you're... And do you know how I know you're in a good place? Because you're in that place where you go, you know what? What will be if it's meant to be, it'll be. If not, something better will come along.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're ready to date.
Yeah.
Because you can be detached from it and still present. It doesn't mean you're never going to get a bit upset. You trust. And that comes back to connecting with your intuition. You trust. There's a sense of, like... a spiritual connection that life is all good, like, I don't need to stress about this, it's out of my control to a large degree. So if you're in a bad place, you forget about dating and you come back to work. I mean, that's what why clients come to me. It's like, you just need to forget about dating, you need to look at what is going on for you. And that's why, look, if I'm honest, I think you can do so much by yourself. If you're really like, I need to sort myself out, you need the support of someone. I mean, I can answer that because that's what I've done. And that's what I will continue to do. Because I feel very good in my relationships at the moment. I still, you know, obviously have mentors and work through that. But there's other areas of my life that I'm like, right, I really want to grow in this and I'm done with messing about.
Yeah.
I've tried to do it on my own, particularly around business. Like, I was an actress, I was a creative. I didn't know anything about business. How on earth could I expect to just know it and to do well? Like, no wonder I was struggling. And now I've got mentors and coaches. Guess what? I'm getting results a lot faster.
I think there's got to be a kind of more around people, and it's not just love and relationships, but like saying it's okay to get help, and you can't just face it all yourself. You're like the female version of Hitch. I just
think. Do you know what's really funny?
The date doctor.
Do you know what? When I was travelling in Bali, I was at this co-working space and they kept calling me the love doctor.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Honestly, it's so amazing what you're doing, because the beauty of it is that I'm someone that I would like to think has maybe gone like maybe 4 or 5 steps in.
Yes.
So I feel like I've done the work. There's people that are very much at the beginning, and I was that girl, and I believe you. Like, for me, guys that are listening, girls that are listening, like, I can be a testament to the fact that once you work on yourself and you go, okay, I'm going to be present in the now, and you kind of get rid of all your, like, everything you're saying, it absolutely works.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've done that. And then I'm very much probably in the last 2 modules, if I was doing a course now, of, like, maybe recently I found myself, not too long ago, in a situation again with a guy, and I was a little bit like, 3 months ago, I probably would have been like, idiot's not replied to me.
Yeah.
I found myself getting a little bit, letting the ego in and being a little bit like, oh my God, what's he playing at? Why are we playing this game? What's going on? What's going on? And then I found myself go, Becky, this isn't meant to be. If it's meant to be, this, you wouldn't be, like you say, you wouldn't be stressing about whether he's texted you back or thinking, why doesn't he want to see you? Or like, does he want to see you? You wouldn't be questioning it at all. So when you say that, I can literally obviously say from someone that's in that position, I actually then went to myself, enough is enough. And it was so funny, the moment I said that to myself, and I'd spoken to the girls, a few of them, and they were like, oh, Bex, do you know what? You're right. I think you just need to let go of that one.
Yeah.
I didn't give it a second thought. Like, literally, one of the girls said it to me a week later, and she was like, so, like, how's things with that situation? Have you spoken to them? And I was like, I actually haven't thought about it all week, because I literally said
to
myself, this isn't meant to be, or if it's meant to be, it will work itself out. But obviously, like you say, there are issues. Is it always plain sailing when it's meant to be, or?
You know what, quickly, I just have to say, you are very different. I mean, I keep forgetting that I've been away for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, you are very different to, when did we see
each other? Electric.
Like, you can see, like, I can see that you've moved forward because you're committed to healing and growing. And that's the thing, like, you really notice that with people when you haven't seen them for a while. And I see it with other people who do know, they don't invest in themselves at all. And I've come back and I've been like, oh God, they've got worse.
Yeah. I've said to so many people recently, if you're stuck, go travelling.
Yeah.
It's the only time you ever get to, like, get downtime. And I got to Australia and I had a really bad relationship with myself, and it, like, came out of nowhere. I thought I'd done all this self-work. And I was like, whoa, I'm in a really bad place. I hate myself again. Why?
Yeah.
And I chose to see that as a lesson, to know what my practice was again as a coach.
Yes.
I needed to come back and remember how it felt to be a girl that hated her body so much so that I could help them.
Yes.
And I guess, like, relationships now are very much at the last, have kind of come out of my mind. Not that I don't want it.
Yeah.
But what's happened is I came back from this place and I was in such a happy place and I knew what I wanted to do, and I stopped focusing on all of that and bettering myself, that I did find people coming up to me like, you look amazing. Like, they were drawn to me.
Yeah.
Like, and not relationships necessarily, guys.
Just energetically,
people were becoming drawn to me. So I'm, like, really resonating with everything you're saying. And I guess everyone listening, like, I urge you to, like, take these steps, because I did a year ago listen to your guided meditation and I sat there and I was like, oh my God, this is working. I visualized, like, what my relationship would be, and I tried to attract it. But that was just the beginning of my whole self journey, and I kind of parked guys again for a bit.
Yeah.
Just, like, coming away from it. And I know, like, guys listening, and, you know, Mel Wells is another one of our contributors on the site, and I know that you very much helped her.
Yeah.
And I had a breakfast with her and we were talking, and she was like, dude, you spoke to me about your ex within 5 seconds. Why are you talking about him?
Mm.
And she then started helping me with all the things that you gone. So guys, like, I know that Persia is just, like, not singing your praises, but I am.
I'll sing
them. What you're talking about, you've helped me without even realising that I've gone through everything that you're saying. And for people that are stuck in that rut of, I'm never going to attract my husband or my partner, or I need to go out 5 times a week to meet them, or I need to go on 100 dates, like,
do you know what, actually, this is a really good, because obviously I could be here all day talking about this, but for those people who are like, give me the steps, because I've been there, like when you're like, just tell me exactly what to do. I've created a free 3-part training series, which is brilliant. Like, I have worked so hard on this, and it's called How to Heal Your Love Life and Attract a Healthy, Soulful, Lasting Relationship. And there's 3 videos, and they are really detailed. They're each like around 40 minutes.
Oh, amazing.
Really, really detailed.
Yeah.
So the first one is the 3 qualities you must possess to attract your soulmate. The second one is 4 common mistakes that are destroying your chances of love and how to avoid them.
Wow.
That's really interesting.
That's
so it's like, don't do this. This is what you're doing that's jacking you in. And the third one, the reason I'm saying the third one is this step. So it's the blueprint, the 7 steps to getting the best relationship of your life. And that really is like, do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. It's
amazing.
A process that people can actually work through.
I need to get on that.
It's so good. Like,
and is it for all levels, all people that are like coming in, coming out of relationships?
To be honest, anyone... Like, because obviously I'm writing this and I'm in a relationship and I still want to learn and grow. So even if you're in a relationship, there's so much in there that is still relevant and useful.
Amazing.
And it doesn't mean that, I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to get the relationship and then that's it. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. As anyone who's in a relationship will tell you, like, then it's just a whole new module of life that starts, a whole new module of work that you have to do. You're just in a different place. Like, it's the same as like getting married. It's not, that's not the end.
No.
You know, there's a whole load of other stuff.
Amazing.
That
so that's
after.
On your site.
So you can get that
now.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. So we'll put a link somewhere.
There'll be a link. Don't worry. I guess that answers all of the questions that I would ask you in here, so they can go onto there and download those. And then, so you've got your free coaching, and then what's the plan for Persia for the rest of the year, or what's coming up from you?
So, what this is the thing that I'm
really... like, we might have opened up a can of worms here.
I know.
I want more help. I want more help.
There's so much.
Yeah.
So, look, the free training series, by the time you listen to this, that will be out. That is going to give you a lot of support and strategies. For people who do that, now there's going to be 2 people. There are the people who are ready to go, as I say, balls deep. Who are like, right, I am ready to make 2018 the year that I nailed this relationship stuff. I do all the work. And I'm releasing an online program, but it's incredible. It's 8 weeks, 7 modules. We cover everything you can possibly imagine. There's loads of like kind of one-to-one time over Skype and all sorts of things like that. It's amazing.
And that will be out when? Will that be out the rest
so
of the year?
So that will be out very soon. It will be out on the 30th of April for a limited time for 10 days.
Amazing.
10 days. So I really want to work with people who are serious about this stuff. I want to have a good group, and that's why I'm not keeping it open, because I want to give my very best. Because you know what? I've had such an amazing time and results working one-to-one, and I absolutely love it, but there's only so many people that I can work with at any one time. So that's why I was like, right, I need to. Actually, it was Mel Wells who said, you've got to turn this into a school. So that's it. So what's been so amazing with Mel is that she was my first official love coaching client, and literally, I mean, it was incredible seeing what happened. She met the love of her life last year.
Who she told me was no one like she would expect.
Exactly,
to
exactly.
She went for all the same guys as I went for.
Exactly.
I think actually some of them were the same.
Probably
guys
were, exactly. Yeah. And then me and my boyfriend were hanging out with her and her boyfriend in Bali. And the amazing thing is, her boyfriend Rick has actually done the filming for the free training and the entire program.
Wow.
So the synchronicity has just been incredible. And so, Mel's done it, and her life changed from doing that program. Like, it's incredible how quickly this stuff works. So I just was like, you know, she said, you've got to get this out to more people.
Amazing.
And I saw what she was doing with her academy, and that's been the inspiration of it.
Oh, well, we thank you, Mel Wells.
Thank you, Mel.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you so much. I feel like, I mean, we've just touched the surface. There are so many things we can talk about, from things you shouldn't do on a date. But I feel like that's not the point of this. The point is to kind of understand where maybe people are going wrong. And obviously everyone's situations are so different.
Yeah.
But equally, from all the things you've taught me and the things I've seen of your guide and the plan and the program, there really are just the fundamental steps that are kind of universal.
Yeah.
They're universal to anyone in whatever situation you are in. And we could have talked for hours about breakups, and we didn't even talk about the wellness side of it, but we did kind of touch on it. And I just think it's endless. And I don't know, I hope that this podcast primarily really helps people think that maybe there is a connection here between your wellness journey and your relationship journey. And a lot of the people that I know have issues with their wellness journey and eating disorders and body dysmorphia and don't have boyfriends, or if they do, it's what's ruining their relationship. So I wanted this to be something that people didn't necessarily go, well, why are you talking about love or wellness? But I do, love is wellness.
They are so
yeah
I'm at my healthiest now because I've made the focus, like, about me and nourishing myself, and that's why I have a great relationship. And look, coming back, if there's anything you take from this, I want you to take this. It's that thing my dad said to me: if you focus on the insides, the outsides will take care of themselves.
Because
I know
so much.
You talk about, you know, people can look great on the outside, do loads of exercise, eat the right things, but they are miserable on the inside.
Yeah.
So what's the point, you know? It really is about your relationship with yourself. And I believe if you put that first, everything gets better. Your body, you'll feel much healthier.
Yeah.
Your career, your finances, and more than anything for me, it's been my relationship. So, you know, that's the link between them. Focus on the insides, on your relationship with yourself, on looking after yourself, on respecting and loving yourself. Everything else follows from that.
I absolutely love that quote.
Genius.
The dad is genius. We need to get him like quoted with a board and a name on the end of it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much and love you.
Thank you for coming.
And guys, all the information that you'll need will be in the podcast notes on the site, and Persia can be found at Persia Lawson on Instagram, PersiaLawson.com on the web.
And Persia Lawson Love Coach on Facebook.
So
I do lots of fun, like, you know, a good few live streams a week on all things, you know, what to say on a date, what not to say, all of those kind of little mini topics.
Yeah,
you
amazing.
Can go there.
Which I'm imagining people are like gagging to find out. I was going to ask you your dating disaster. What's like one of your biggest dating disasters? But I just didn't even go there.
Oh God, I've had so many that I can't even, I was so wasted for them. I don't remember.
Don't get drunk, guys. But thank you so much for tuning in, and lots of love.
Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Alternatively Healthy Wellness Podcast Series by Becky Rabin. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please feel free to leave your comments and feedback below, and don't forget to give us a lovely little rating. For more information on our podcasts, other episodes, and to find out more about what we do, please visit www.alternativelyhealthy.co.uk. And remember, shaping the healthiest version of you means looking purely at you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.